Good morning, Mr. Dubas.
Good morning, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing well. Boy, I'll tell you what, for a team that isn't in the NHL playoffs, you guys have a lot of good stuff going on. I mean, I know that I don't think you're happy being down 2-0 to Hershey, but every time I turn on the Memorial Cup, Mitch Marner seems to be scoring or doing something. I watch the World Championships, and Kita Zaitsev's playing well, and like a lot of people, can't wait for whoever you choose in the first round, or the first pick overall, to show up. What I did want to ask you specifically, though, I want to talk about the Marlies first out of the gate and this format change that was necessitated. You know, you still get, as I said, you still get 4 games. You still get 4 games at home. But how much of a kink does that put in the coach's plans when you start on the road and you might expect to be starting at home?
Well, after a game 7 in Albany, I broke the news to Sheldon. The situation was that Hershey had the circus there beginning Sunday, so it would have been Sunday the 22nd, and or they had a concert on Sunday, then they were out of their building for 7 days because of the circus. And in the American League, they say that they aren't in the position to tell a team to play at an alternate location. So we could have played the first two at home and then waited 7 days or 10 days to play games 3 and 4, and then the series would have gone on for 3 weeks or so. So it is strange. I mean, we've started this is our third series this spring, and two of the three we've started with the first two games on the road, which is not optimal. That said, I think we're coming back here tonight to Rico, and you know, we've got 4 of the next 5 games at home, so it is a good feeling. You never want to be down 2, but it is good to have that in our back pocket now.
What did you take away from those first 2 games in Hershey in terms of, you know, what this team has to do coming home?
Well, I think number one, we played very poorly on Friday night. Maybe one of our worst games of the season in all regards by any measure, Stephen. So that was a little bit concerning. Then we responded really, really well on Saturday in game 2. We generated a ton of shots and chances. Justin Peters and net for them was outstanding. I think for us, what we need to do is take advantage of our skill and ability and continue to get to the middle of the offensive zone and generate shots from there. A lot of our shots and chances were from the perimeter, and it's great to generate those, but with a goalie that's locked in like Peters is for them right now, we need to get to the middle of the ice, notably our top players. When we've got there, we've had success. We've either had grade A chances or we've hit the post, or we had 3 goals that were reviewed on Saturday in game 2 that were just on the line and stayed out. And if we continue to stick to that and continue to get to those areas and let our skill take over, I think we'll have success. But we just have to stick to that process, even if their goalie remains hot.
Talking to Kyle Dubas on the Jeff Blair Show. Kyle, what can you learn about a team from postseason, from the trials and tribulations of the postseason versus regular season trials and tribulations when you're talking about a team, you know, that is a development team like the Marlies?
A lot. It's been the emotions of the playoffs, and when you're in every day with the team, and you know you've been with the players every day for what's been now 7 going on 8 months, you see the emotional toll that the playoffs can take because of the roller coaster that we've been on here, down 2-1 to Albany with 2 games left there. I have to push back after giving a game away on the power play with 20 seconds left in game 3 in Albany, and have to bounce back against a really tough team. I think for us, Jeff, with this group and what it's been through this spring, it's a very young group. A lot of these players are certainly ones that we feel as an organization have the potential to be a part of the Leafs for a long time and be very good players for the Maple Leafs. And this experience and seeing how they respond when things don't go well. So having, you know, being down in game 7, 2-1 in the 3rd period, we come back, take a lead, and they tie the game again. Seeing a player notably like Kasperi Kapanen, who was a healthy scratch the first game in the playoffs, and how he's bounced back and been one of our most reliable players and stepping up in key moments. It's been a lot of fun, and it's very gratifying to see players developed in these moments and be able to handle the stress and pressure of the playoffs, especially with the crowds getting sold out every game here, and the crowds have been enthusiastic and great. But with that and being where we finished in the regular season comes some pressure, and it's been excellent for us to be able to see how the players respond to that, both in a series and in the playoffs overall, and develop some ability to handle that stress and develop that mental toughness. It's a key part. I know it's very subjective and it's an intangible part of it, but it is a big part of it for us, and exciting to see our players have the opportunity to go through this.
Now, Kyle, I know your focus is obviously the Marlies right now, but I assume you, like a lot of Maple Leaf fans, have been casting an eye on the Memorial Cup, and especially on Mitch Marner. You know, he looks like he's too good for junior hockey right now. He's playing on a team that looks like it's too good for junior hockey right now as well. So they're killing it, and they've killed it all through these playoffs. You're going to have a very tough decision organizationally to make about him next fall. I know it's a good problem to have, but it's going to be a very tricky decision in the fall, isn't it?
I think it'll be one that we'll be extremely patient with. Once Mitch is done his season on Sunday following the final, whichever way that goes for them, I think we'll immediately look to get him rolling on his summer. So he needs to get a rest and a break. He's played a lot of hockey, started with us and in the rookie tournament in London in September, and he's been through four rounds of playoffs, the Memorial Cup, the World Junior, the exhibition season with the Leafs. It's been a lot that's gone on. So with him, obviously, I think what you'll hear time and time again is that he needs to continue to get bigger and stronger to handle the rigors of a professional season. And in his case, it has to be either in the NHL or back to London next year. So the step one for Mitch in that decision is going to be what happens in the summer and the work that he puts in to maximize the summer in terms of strength and conditioning. And that to me, that doesn't get associated with weight and whether he's able mm-hmm. to put on pounds on his body. It's whether he can maximize his strength, whatever his frame is right now, to be able to withstand NHL contact and obviously his hockey sense and his decision making and his creativity and vision with the puck is so exciting to watch. You see it on a nightly basis right now with the Knights, the Memorial Cup. It's very exciting to see, and if he can combine that with a good summer, it'll give himself a great chance in the fall. I know that Mike and our coaching staff will do everything that they can to put him in a good spot to succeed.
Is the physical ability to compete, is that the most important, you know, in terms of where, because, you know, it's a, you know, there's, you can kind of go back and forth on it as a development issue. How much more can he learn in junior? How, you know, will he be a little over his head playing in the National Hockey League? And you're only going to see so much during training camp in the preseason. So how much does it actually come down to, is he big enough and strong enough to kind of hold his own through an NHL season?
Well, I think we've seen, every year you see younger players who may not be the exact size that you want them to be. I think you'd love everybody to be, 6'3", 215 pounds and be able to skate and make great plays, but it's just not the way that the game works out. And I think we've seen over the years players that are undersized and maybe underdeveloped just because of their age have been able to come in and have success at the NHL level, going back year to year for quite a while. And I think you're seeing a trend now where NHL forwards are slowly becoming a little bit smaller, and speed and intelligence and skill are coming back into the fray. So we know Mitch, in terms of his skill and his intelligence, certainly from what he puts on display every night right now, is going to give himself an excellent chance. And our main concern is not whether he's a certain weight or a certain strength. It's just whether he can continue to use his skills to the best of his ability at this level, under the physical duress that he'll face. And I think that's up to him in the summer. It's up to us as a staff to have him ready to go.
Kyle, before I let you run, I wanted to ask you about Nikita Zaitsev and his world championships. This is a guy who team makes a commitment to him, and he certainly answers it. He plays well. What is his upside as a 24-year-old defenseman coming in?
Well, I think Nikita is a player that, from with our staff, Jim Palafito, our director of player evaluation, has done an excellent job in recruiting and getting to know. And from our standpoint, watching him in the KHL, he played in all situations for his team, and obviously has been very good on the power play, played very well for Russia at the World Championships with similar usage. And for us, we see him as a defenseman, and for myself, watching him as much video as I possibly can, he skates very well, moves the puck very effectively, is a sound defender, isn't an abrasive type defender, but can takes strong roots and is well positioned, separates his man from the puck, and then gets the game going back up the ice and transitions the play up to play on offense. And he's shown throughout the year that he's got some excellent ability offensively. So for us, we're very excited about that. I think we have to acknowledge that there's going to be a transition and put him in a spot where he can slowly adapt and hit the ground running. I know he'll move over to Toronto early in the summer and get acclimated and get training and get on the ice and get used to the North American ice surface and our systems and give himself the best chance to go come the fall. But I think it's always hard to put massive expectations on these players making a transition like this, especially when they've been integrated into a different system, in his case for many years playing pro in the KHL. So we have to be patient and protect him and let his skill and ability take over in time.